shine, little Uber, liver, liver, leap.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite gardeners. It's Lance and Lulu. Good evening, worms. How are you tonight?
Full blast ahead.
All
ahead full, yeah.
I know. So much to do, so much to talk about. Oh, not sure where to start, but thanks for gathering yourselves and getting in here.
I was listening to the commissioner's report, and I was out there planting radishes and thinking, this is so cool, you know. And then I heard myself doing the station ID, and I went, drop everything, come running in here.
And we are glad you're here. And
made it.
Yeah, both of you are here to take calls, and it's questions, comments, concerns, 527-486-8186, KVNF now. And what great weather. This is one of those Mays that is just fabulous.
Yeah.
The moisture and the temperatures.
The whole spring.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
All my cherry tree is set. My peach tree is set. My apple trees, I don't know just yet.
Apricots, what do you think about that?
I have five trees full of apricots.
Just full,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Nanking cherry, sand cherries set.
Yep.
The currants.
The birds are
going
to have a good time us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the birds are already crazy out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're having the best time.
Aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah, just this morning, you could just sit out there and just listen to them. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. I love it.
Yep.
And the moisture that's going on. I mean, let's talk about the grass growing, and can you fit in a mowing? Can it even dry out? I don't know. It's getting so long now that I don't think it's going to dry out.
I squeaked one in this afternoon.
Did you?
Yeah. And then I did some edging and, you know, things like that. It's so gratifying. It looks
I bet
so
it looks
nice.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This time of year, you almost need to mow. If you really want to stay on top of it, mow twice a week.
Wow.
I don't do it.
That's a tall order.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's like it's almost too tall. But, you know, I mowed Sunday and almost Saturday, and it'll still be a little.
Okay.
I've noticed a lot of people mowing. And at this time of year, you know, you should really mow high.
Mm-hmm.
Still
okay,
mow high.
Okay, that's good advice.
Yeah, because after the dandelions, which are just coming in now.
Amazing dandelions.
Start to do their seed thing. You want that grass tall, then it's more difficult for that seed to get down in there.
Okay. Yeah, and if there's any seeds in there, they can't germinate with the taller grass.
With the taller grass, they they get, you know, crowded out and no sun and all that.
There you go. Okay,
Mohai.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about dandelions, but I'm going to give the phone numbers, 527-486-8186, KVNF now. Because they are prolific in my yard right now. And what do you do with dandelions, Lulu? Do you collect greens?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just brought in some trays of greens, dandelion greens that I dried previously. But what I do, I dig them out where I don't want them, but usually I grab their leaves first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pop the heads off where I do have a row that I harvest specifically for greens. I just take their heads off. But if you've got a lot, you know, well, I mean, you know, off with their head. The royal queen says off with it. Anyway.
The royal queen and the wicked witch. Is there a certain maturity level or a certain?
The best time, if you're going to dig your dandelions, and you can be pretty lax about how deep you go on the root, this is the exact time to do it. Because all the energy is going up into the plant for the flower and the seeds. And if you dig them out and you get, you know, the better part of the root or even part of the root, you're definitely not going to see that dandelion again this year. And you're going to get to it. You know, you're going to kick them out.
And you do salad greens? Is that
I do salad greens? Yeah, I eat them. I really enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
And the painted lady butterflies are enjoying them too.
All over
nice.
Them.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the bees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is another good reason to not poison them.
Right.
Because now you're just getting it into the food chain seriously. Right. So.
Yeah, and you'll never get rid of them. Just live with them. You know,
and
use them
and
let them.
You can do that too.
I pull them out of my growing flower beds and my vegetable beds, but they're in the lawn.
Yeah.
They get mowed once a week.
Yeah, and they really are super beneficial for the grass because they have this fabulous taproot that breaks up the clay, allows moisture to go down in there. The worms are happy because they can feed. A lot of times they'll be feeding on the leaves that are the dandelion leaves that are rotting that are right close to the ground.
Right.
And on the ground, the worms will be feeding on those. I know, it's...
Yep,
it's,
it all works together.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Anika from Palisade with a question on the phone. Good evening.
Hi there. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm good.
We're great.
Howdy, we're doing great.
What's going on?
I was wondering about morning glories and how to get rid of them, whether it's just pulling them or... What do you guys, how do you guys get rid of morning glories?
Good question. Because is that bindweed?
Yeah.
That's bindweed.
Yeah, right. Are you talking about bindweed, perennial morning glory?
Yes, I am. Yes. The bindweed, even with the white flower.
Yeah.
Move.
No.
Persistence. You can,
persistence. But takes about 3 to 4 years of clean cultivation to hoe it off. Yeah, just hoe it off.
And then is it the best way to just bring them to the compost facility?
Yep.
Or because I have a compost in my garden and I don't really want to put those weeds in there, right?
You should be okay if you've got a healthy compost.
Oh, okay. I can put them in there? Oh,
yeah,
heck,
there's no seeds there if you're,
Yeah.
Yet. Yeah, there's no seeds there. So, yeah, it's perfectly okay to compost that. And you can spray it with vinegar. Agricultural vinegar will just burn it off. You can do that.
Okay.
And
It does come back. It does come back.
Right.
Well, and we've talked about mowing
I love weeding, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it's okay. And then I'm just trying to think.
It's
a soil indicator of a hard pan.
Yeah.
Okay.
You go down 6, 12, 18 inches, and there'll be a hard layer of soil. That's what that bindweed's indicating.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good at what it does.
Yeah.
You know, it's a survivor, and it's really good at it. But that's why the cultivation and just scraping off the top growth.
Yeah. Right.
You wear it
changes
it down.
Its structure.
Yeah,
right.
You wear it down.
Yeah.
That
it's satisfying to pull it up and you get this big, long
root.
But if you chop it off on top, then it puts two shoots up. You chop it off on top, it puts out 4 to 5. That will burn out that root faster than just pulling that big, long shoot out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, that's good to know.
Because it has to support that much more growth.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Great. Thanks so much for your help, you guys.
Anika. Yeah, thanks for your call.
Okay.
That is
you're welcome.
Great question.
That's the perennial question.
It is every year.
Yeah.
And it can be overcome. You can get rid of it.
Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. You can. And
oh my gosh, when I was a child, you were never supposed to let a root break. It was like that was your mission to get that whole root out.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, you would be in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Sheep really like it. They do
Oh,
well.
There you go. Put those sheep out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sheep like it. And I had a terrible problem with it where I used to grow beans. And after that it was gone and the horses, we put horses in that pasture. Mm-hmm. They ate that. That was the end
of that. Took care of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And the another, have you ever put gypsum on it?
Oh, no.
I've
that's
heard
a new one.
Change the calcium.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Just put gypsum on it. Yeah. I don't know how.
It's good.
Yeah.
You can get rid of bindweed, though. So
don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. just go for it.
Right. Okay, 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. So a lot of cleaning up and getting things ready. And what's coming up right now? Because a lot of early things are in the ground.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. Well, the onions are coming up. The second bed of carrots will come up in the next couple of days.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
All the spinach and lettuce and radishes and the kale and Swiss chard. Yeah, I don't do beets for a summer crop. I do it for a fall crop, so I haven't planted beets yet. You know, but all those kind of things are doing quite well.
I haven't planted anything except radishes. Everything else is the perennials that are in the yard. There's rhubarb and garlic. That walking garlic is everywhere. And chives and oregano and parsley and tarragon and sage and just all that stuff.
Pretty nice garden. Yeah. You're not planting anything yet.
Yeah, no. And oh, my God, my lovage. Man, I was going to move it and give it a new attitude.
Yes, but it's happy.
It's winning big time.
Yeah.
It's huge. I guess I could cut it down, but.
Yeah. There's lots of asparagus, too.
Mm. Oh, let's talk about asparagus. So,
yeah.
Lulu, did you have a listener that wanted to know something?
Martha was asking about cutting back the old growth from the previous year. And, everything that I've ever known about asparagus is the cleaner you keep the beds, the better off you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to keep them weed-free. You want to keep all that old growth out. And you have much less chance of getting asparagus beetle, and then you're golden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you're harvesting asparagus, you don't break it off at the top. You take a knife and cut it off at the ground level or just under.
Just under.
Because if you leave it broken off top, it doesn't send out a new shoot. It tries to grow off of that.
Okay.
So if you cut it all the way off, you'll get a new shoot.
Nice and clean.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, great. We've got a couple callers on the line. We're going to start with Dan from Log Hill. Good evening, Dan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, what's going on tonight?
Was following up on the bindweed question, which I don't have a problem with, but I do have a problem with bull thistles. And I was wondering if the same advice pertains in terms of not pulling the roots out or, you know, not trying to get the entire root structure. Because I've been doing that for a few years and they just seem to be getting worse. What's the best way to get rid of thistles?
Well, you know what? Here's one of the really good news things, is that the painted lady butterflies, when they're in their larval stage, the painted ladies lay their eggs on the thistles, and when the eggs hatch, the little larvae burrow into the thistle and eat it from the inside out, and they kill it. So that's the good news about it for now about thistle.
That's but, some help.
Yeah, some help, but that bull thistle is that the one that's a native?
No, it's not. I have my weed book here. It's from Eurasia.
Uh-huh.
And it's a biannual.
Oh, it's biannual.
Yeah, it's a
there
biannual.
There you go. That's why so it's
what,
so persistent. What
the,
yeah.
You have a tremendous seed bank in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even if you keep it clean cultivated for 2 years, you've probably still got seeds in there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's really, Ed, the other thing is these plants really like disturbed soils.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know where this area is, if it's in the garden or what, but if it's not in the garden and you can get perennial grasses or something like that, shrubs in there, that's next step.
Well, it largely is in the garden. I mean, I'm having a fairly successful garden, but I'm having trouble getting rid of the thistles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is it mulching? I mean, is that a possibility? Or
well, mulching, I would hoe them all off and mulch. And, you know, you could even use cardboard, newspapers, you know, right on top of those plants.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, newspaper has been one of my very best mulches ever.
Mm-hmm.
Thick layer of it, like the New York Times when you used to get that. You know, the Sunday news.
Specifically
whatever.
The New York Times.
Yeah. Well, remember when it used to come every morning and it was Sunday and it was
huge.
A huge. Yeah. And you just slap down a whole section at a time and overlap it, you know, so you don't have space in between it. But newspaper does
really
well.
I suppose the online version is not as efficacious.
No.
Not so much. But newspaper
works. I'll give that a try. But that, I actually didn't know about the biannual part. That's interesting. I couldn't explain part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'll keep after it.
Okay. All right. Good luck, Dan. All right.
Nice
thanks
work.
For the call.
Bye.
Okay. 527-4868-1866 KVNF now. And it's Lorna from Norwood on the line. Good evening, Lorna.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
My question is about black ants and apricot trees.
Okay.
We have an apricot. We live at about 7,200 feet.
Okay.
And we have an apricot tree that's about 10 years old. It's just for looks. I mean, we don't grow fruit or anything. But we've noticed that the black ants have created all sorts of nests in the bark, and we're afraid it'll kill the tree.
Mm.
So I've talked to a bunch of folks around here, and some of the old-timers actually are quite familiar with this problem. It's new to me. I had no idea, and I don't know when it happened because we just noticed it this year. But we put some horrible poison on it, which seems to help, although I don't think it helped the tree. It definitely didn't help the ants. But somebody told us that there's something about putting mud around the bark.
Oh, suffocating them in. What a great idea.
Yeah.
They're
actually in the bark, huh? I've not heard of this.
No, I haven't either.
I would do that or Tanglefoot.
Tanglefoot was what I was going to go with.
What is Tanglefoot?
It's actually a very sticky, jelly-type thing that you put on the barks to keep crawling bugs from going up and down the trees.
Okay. Now, and they've actually drilled holes in the bark.
Yeah, well, you might be able to put this right over their holes, that tanglefoot. Okay. And mud might work. I don't know. You might mix some mud with diatomaceous earth and do it that way.
I have never heard of that.
No, I've not heard of this
either.
Well,
you know, it's funny because my landscape person hadn't heard of it either, but the old-timers around here have all heard of it.
Interesting.
And my husband, who's British, had heard of it in England.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the other thing that repels, there's two things that repel ants, bone meal and tansy.
Tansy.
But they'd repel them from the ground. They wouldn't help the tree it already is.
Dust the tree. I'm just saying, try anything.
Yeah, try it all.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm calling you guys.
You know what? You know what else you might try? Pepper spray. Make yourself a really, go get some habaneros and make yourself a habanero tea that's so hot it makes your eyes water. And be careful about inhaling it and stuff. But
and
you might
gloves.
Just, and mm-hmm. gloves, yeah. And make a pepper spray and make sure you're upwind and See if you can drive them out that way.
And then what about...
Are there lots and lots of them? Or?
Well, I because I sprayed them with a bunch of poison, I haven't seen them in the last few days. But I'm more worried about the tree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Poor little ants, I'm sorry, guys. But I'm worried that they've already done damage. I don't know if there's anything I could do to the tree. I mean, the tree looks great. The blossoms are gone and the leaves are coming out. The tree isn't complaining, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are there 100 holes or 10 or 5?
There's probably one section, there's probably 25. And then up and down the main part of the trunk, they're not all together. They're kind of like sporadic. But there's this one section, and it's on a limb, so it's not going to – I could cut that whole limb off, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But it goes all – it's amazing. It's actually quite an artwork.
Right.
I'm just, since the old timers in that area, I'm just wondering, do you have you consistently watered it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, because sometimes it would be under drought stress, and I could see that happening.
Sure.
Well, you could see that from last year, and then we had a really heavy winter.
Yeah.
You know, I get that part. I'm just wondering if there's anything I should do for the bark or whether I just have to.
Well, you can always go keep on spraying kelp.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to look this up because I'm not knowledgeable in it, but there is a bark paint that biodynamic people make.
That I was just going to say that.
The bark paint, and they swear by it for injured bark. And you, this is a injured bark because you have all those ants digging holes in it. And you would, and you'll have to look up biodynamic and
biodynamic bark paint.
Maybe some of the biodynamic gurus are listening.
Call us and tell us what that bark paint is.
Yeah. Right.
Beautiful. Yeah, and whether they've heard of it, because you haven't heard of black ants killing trees before.
No, but this bark paint will help the tree, and that's your main concern.
Okay, well, thank you guys very much. Thank you,
Laura. Right. Yeah, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's...
There's right, one. You stumped the chumps. I mean, it's great. Right?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. Thanks.
I like the bark paint thought. Mm-hmm. That sounds really fascinating.
Yeah, you know, ants are tricky.
They are tricky. You know? Wow.
I mean, if you could suck them out, you know, that might work for a while.
Your old vacuum technique.
Yeah, the old vacuum technique. And then I was thinking school glue, you know, because if there's only, school I mean, they're glue. Not they're not girdling the main trunk. If there's only 25 holes and the tree is, you know, several years old, they're not girdling it. So they're not going to interfere with the phloem up, phloem down, or whichever way it goes. Phloem up, phloem down. Phloem up, phloem down, whatever. It's in that tiny little Cambrian just layer. But if, you know, put school glue in there.
Yeah.
Little Elmers.
Plug those holes.
Right.
Plug those holes. Yeah. I mean, that's what the mud was going to do.
And that's what the bark paint does. Essentially does.
Yeah, and Tanglefoot does the same thing.
There you go.
So.
Okay, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. You can email worm@kvnf.org. And we do have an email in from our friend and fellow worm, Amber, wondering about that fig tree, Lance, that you buried last fall.
That's such a good idea.
I'm sorry to say, I think it died down to about 3 inches above ground.
No.
So I'm watching it. It's green down there. So, you know, it looked like it was looking pretty good. And I was taking those bales of hay off during the sunny days and putting them back up for 6 weeks. And then I said,
pampering.
Yeah. But anyways, that's
all right. Thanks for the update on that.
So
we'll be watching that.
We'll watch the shoots. I'll let you know if I get shoots out of it.
Yeah. And we want to have Amber in here again to report on her progress from her garden last year, which was flooded by the ditch flood. Remember that?
Oh, the, yeah,
the flash fierce, came through.
The flash,
and
the flash flood.
So we look forward to talking with her in the upcoming weeks. All right. Some other things planted. Lance, you mentioned the nasturtium is planted and that you put that in between the squash.
I like to plant the nasturtiums in between the squash hills. It repels the squash bug.
Bugs.
And I plant it a little bit earlier because it likes the cooler weather.
Okay, perfect right now.
And so and I haven't watered it, but the ground was so moist. It's like, you know.
Yeah, when I was planting my radishes today, the top, I was surprised because I did rototill and break it all up, you know. But then I went away for a week and the top layer was cracked, you know, and hard.
Right.
But right down underneath, and when I stepped on it, it was soft. So I just got out some extra fancy potting soil, peat, that Nutri-Grow. I love that stuff. And I used that. And I said, good luck, guys. And
even though we've had moisture and rain, and the ground's good, don't get me wrong, this area still dries out.
It does dry out quickly.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It dries out quick.
Yeah.
And the plants today, when the sun came out, all of a sudden they all got that But they're fine. There's plenty of moisture under there still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If you till deep, it'd be muddy.
It'd be muddy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not just moist, but muddy.
Yeah. The garlic's doing great, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, your walking garlic, is that?
Yeah, that the one that came with the house, you know, years and years and years ago and still is making more of itself everywhere.
Yeah.
God, I love that stuff. It's so good with eggs in the morning because it's mild, you know, but it has that really fabulous garlic. Mm, yummy.
Mm-mm-mm.
I know what I'm having for breakfast. Right. I have a similar garlic.
Right?
Yeah. I have it for breakfast almost every morning.
Nice.
I start to get kind of stinky, but that's okay.
I was.
I know. Don't.
5274-868-1866, KVNF now. And what about the little moths and the bugs and the painted ladies and everything that's coming out? Someone gave me a report. They were driving to Grand Junction and went through a giant thing of grasshoppers or something that were just hitting the windshield splattering all over. So
you know,
things are hatching.
Yeah, yes. They are. And the insect apocalypse is happening. I mean, you know, we're talking about
this
painted lady thing and the grasshopper thing, and you know, but in other species, I think the species might be doing the same thing the weather's doing. And there's huge blooms and then huge die-offs.
I haven't seen a grasshopper yet.
I haven't seen a grasshopper.
Nope.
Crazy moths.
All day long, and then I had the ones in the trees at night.
And so you know, I know they're coddling moths. I was sure.
No, they're not big enough. The coddling moth's too small. These are too big.
Oh, these are too big?
Some of them are giant. I call them hummingbird moths because they tend to have that flutter thing, and they're big.
The sphinx moth.
Yeah.
There were a lot of those early this year, and no tomato plants for them to fester on.
Oh, they came. Did they come early, or are they just?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think so. But right. the adults have to come out
of their cocoons during the winter. Those are those brown 2 or 3 inch cocoons that had that hook on them, which is the antennas.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing, and then they'll mate. And lay their eggs, and then their eggs will be the tomato hornworms.
Dun, dun, okay. Dun, dun, dun. Let's you know what's coming up. Tomato hornworms.
So maybe we won't have so many tomato hornworms because
they're early.
The sphinx moths
is early.
Were so early.
I don't know what their larvae feed on at this early stage.
I don't either.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So cool. See, everything's just wacky.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to go with it.
It is wacky. It's different every year, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what are some of your priorities coming up for this week? I know it's going to start raining again. It's like, can anybody get out there fast enough?
Yeah. Actually, I'll be planting the rest of potatoes.
Okay.
It's the next project. And then I did something new this year is my compost wasn't ready, and I'm about ready to plant the third bed of carrots. So I went and got some horse manure and tilled that in.
Oh, okay.
And we'll see how that does. I don't think it's going to be a great problem, but if I'm going to use
something
manure,
different.
I like to let it sit in the ground for a week or so before I plant.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to get my irrigation system running. It's up. Thank God. It's
nice.
Water's in the pipes and it's great. So I'm going to get my irrigation system running and probably try some transplanting and I've been talking about this since the first show, getting some of the daylilies and phlox out of the garden.
Uh-huh.
Then start planting and then get the dog kennel out of the one garden and start rototilling and planting, just amending soil and planting.
Right. So much to do. Get busy.
Yeah, but it's so fabulous.
It is so fabulous and fun. It smells so good out there right
now.
And the birds singing.
So good.
It looks so beautiful. Everything's so lush. Yes, we are blessed. Hey, I want to let you know about that Building Soil Fertility class that's going on with Scott Horner and Lloyd Nelson. And it's up at Small Potatoes Farm here in Paonia this Saturday from 1 to 3. So those are some biodynamic guys right there.
Yeah.
Learn how to build healthy soil with compost, cover crops, rotational planting, biodynamic preparations, animal manure, natural soil amendments. You will be outside, and you can go to thelearningcouncil.org. So thank you, Learning Council and VOGA, for sponsoring
doing
all this
a lot
great
of
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really you learned
important.
Something really quick, Lance, at the seed.
We had our monthly seed workshop last Wednesday, and I learned something, and it really clicked because we had a caller either last summer or the summer before with a greenhouse full of peppers and eggplants and no fruit. And these plants need to be physically stimulated. The flowers. And the reason why.
You have to wiggle them.
You have to wiggle them and stuff. And that makes even more sense being in a greenhouse. There's no wind.
Sure.
And less insects. And what happens, the pollen has to get to the pollen tube and travel down. And that's what gets it to travel down the pollen tube to the ovary that pollinated.
Okay, so and, you got to move them.
Yeah, and when it's too cold, the pollen tube's not functional. When it's too hot, too cold would be below 60. Okay. Too hot would be above 90.
90, yeah.
Yeah, when it's either one of those, the pollen tube constricts or does whatever and can't work.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right. Good information. Thank you, Lance.
Man.
Thank you, Lulu. Thanks to all our callers tonight. It's going to be Lady Lou coming up with One Woman's Perspective, but looking forward to next week, same time, 6:30 on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
All right. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
I got a girl that I love so. Low, little low, and low.